Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Deeper Truth presents Freedom Is Not Free. We look at politics from every conceivable angle.
The one on the right was on the left, and the one in the middle was on the right, and the one on the left was in the middle, and the guy in the rear was a Methodist.
This freewheeling discussion highlights the accomplishments of many who are working to save America.
The guy on his rear said, oh dear.
Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, and his team host this fast-moving review, along with guest commentator Kansas Representative Bill Sutton, provide thoughtful analysis of where America stands, whether in the crossroads or the crosshairs. To join the conversation, call 646-595-2071, 646-595-2071, and remember, freedom is not free.
And the guy in the rear burned his driver's license.
Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, join John Carpenter for A Journey with Mary, an in-depth look at some of the many places Our Lady has been throughout the world since 40 A.D. Came from the Catholic Defender Radio Network. That's Journey with Mary, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Sunday nights on the Catholic Defender Radio Network. If you haven't been to Mass in a while, have you wondered what you've been missing? The creator of the universe, becoming the bread of life, just for you. Why not start attending Mass again and see for yourself what you've been missing?
All right. Well, those are what Michael from New Jersey have come up with for the opening of this show and our Journey with Mary show and then the Eucharistic Miracle show. So here they are. I just put them all three there. So what do you think of all that there, Representative Sutton?
I mean, that's some good stuff. I'm impressed. I mean, we sound like a bunch of pros out here. That's fantastic.
That is good. I love it. Oh, that is awesome. That is good. And so let me bring Mike on. Mike, I just showcased those three for these three nights, you know, Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. So that is so cool, you know. I appreciate you doing that.
Well, I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah. And so,
it's one of those things that even at age 76, I can still do.
Well, there you go. And we got Doc from Tennessee. How you doing there, Doc?
Oh, hey, Doc. I'm happy and blessed, better than I deserve. Tell you what, at 76, I hope I'm half as coherent as you are, Mike. Because I feel like I'm slipping
now.
I don't know
what half coherent means.
Yeah. But no, I'm doing good. That thing I was telling you about before we started, apparently this guy put in a complaint. He sent a complaint into the court, a memo or something like that, and it questioned the validity, and by law they were supposed to take 10 days to recognize his complaint, but they blew him off. Well, he didn't go away, and because they violated that law, and they have evidence that members of Congress went out of their way to block this investigation or this inquiry, well, they broke the law, and the guy's pushing it, and it's at the Supreme Court now. So the outcome, which, God, I told the guy when I heard about it, please don't tease me. But the outcome is SCOTUS can say the 2020 election was invalid. And those that work to block that investigation, they can issue warrants for their arrest, and they will all be removed from their posts. I don't see that happening, but, Lord, that would be a great day for America. Lock them all
up.
It
would be.
Yeah, you know,
I mean,
and it would be all 100% legal.
I sat through that whole thing, and there's no way that Trump could be hundreds of thousands of votes ahead. And then when they started bringing in all these fake votes and all the shenanigans that was going on in those battleground states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona. I mean, you know, and I agree with Representative Sutton. Well, obviously Representative Sutton, but with, the senator from Texas, as well as Missouri, Buddy Holly. Not Buddy Holly. But,
Buddy Holly.
That'll be the day.
There's some crickets running around. There's some crickets running around Congress.
Well, Holly and Ted Cruz, those that had dual electors, they were wanting to have those go back to those battleground states and send back. They were going to give them 10 days to send back the correct, real. Those electors, because they did not do that. In fact, on the contrary, and so you had Pence, who basically rubber stamped on all those false, bad, all the evidence, and the courts went up against the evidence. So if they're going to do something about that now, if the Supreme Court is looking into that, I mean, you know, you had the truck driver from UPS mail who brought down from New York into Pennsylvania 300 illegal ballots, and Pence certified it, as well as all the thousands of dead people and people that were living out of state, people that should not have been able to have voted in those states. But also, so 15, 16, 17-year-olds who voted. Pence certified all of that, and Trump won the election. So I guess you would call me a denier. Yeah,
well,
he
here's
won
the
by
thing,
landslide.
Don. I mean, let's basically do the math. They say Trump got something like 73 million, and Biden got like 81 million. So what's he, 7? And 8 is what, 15? There's only 130 million voters. So what, we got like 30 million voters just appeared out of thin air? You know, I mean, the numbers are off. They don't match. So So, I mean, anybody with a lick of sense could figure that out. You know, it's just, you know, they had to go through the process, and it took longer than I thought it would. But, you know, if this is real, and like I said, I see a lot of things from a lot of different sources, and I saw this from, like, three different sources. So, I tell you with a grain of salt because, you know, there's always people out there, but it looked legit, and it was a reporter interviewing the guy who is pushing the complaint, and he explained it, and he said they had time to dispute it, and all they had to do is put out a dispute, and it would have stopped them, but they didn't do that because I guess they didn't think it was, you know, they didn't believe in it or whatever, and the guy ain't letting it go, so I pray for his success. Because it means a success for all of us.
Well, I'm wondering if there was any shenanigans in Georgia because, you know, I don't see how it's possible that Walker could have lost that. Bill, what do you think about that? Does that really hurt the Senate right now? Or I mean, just that that it's not – I mean, it gives the Republican – well, it gives Democrats that slim majority, but us having the House kind of help us a lot there.
Oh yeah. I think having the House certainly helps, but the one person who's probably the most angry about Herschel Walker not winning is probably Joe Manchin, would be my thought, because now he no longer has that sweetheart deal of you need my vote, you know, or else it doesn't pass. And he had a lot of power in that position. You know, that swing vote is powerful. And so I think he's going to be pretty upset about this whole thing. He's probably more upset than I am about the Walker election because it does take away his sweetheart position. Otherwise, you know, the big difference that it would make would be in committee assignments as far as the breakdowns of the committees. But with Kyrsten Sinema backing out or going to independent, I think that might level the playing field again. We'll get more of a – no, she votes with the Ds pretty regularly, but on tough issues – not necessarily. So I think that's going to flee status quo in the Senate, and we have the House. So that's going to be an improvement, certainly.
Right. The thing about that, though, I really don't think that if someone was elected, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever platform you ran on, you owe it to the people that voted you to stay the course. You switch from Democrat to Independent halfway through. If I voted for you, I feel like you did a bait and switch, that you only said that you were with my party, that you'd get the vote. You know, I don't think that they should be able to do that while they're in office. Or if they do, there should be another election.
And that's valid. That's absolutely valid. It's a separate question, however, because it's currently legal. We had that same thing going on in Kansas at one point just a few years ago. I think 4 years ago, maybe, we had someone who had never voted Republican, right? But was a member of the Republican Party and switched to the Dems. And you know, quite honestly, did it help in Kansas? It didn't help the Dems at all, and it probably caused more trouble than it was worth, but I actually respect her more for suddenly coming out and proclaiming that she's actually a Democrat.
Well, but if you're going to be a Democrat, run on a Democrat ticket, because if you're running as a Republican,
and that's for the voters to decide. That's, you know, it's currently it's currently the. If we get that, I would probably support as well. but it's currently legal, and when voters decide that, did they mean to elect a Democrat? I don't know. Did they mean to elect an independent in Arizona? I don't know, but we'll find out.
What is wrong with the people there in Georgia for them to elect someone that is a clear socialist, Marxist, communist, who is against,
Atlanta?
Yeah,
Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's the answer. The rest of Georgia's blood red. Atlanta, that's really it.
That's why the states need a electoral college to prevent that shit from happening. Yeah.
And
hold up.
I think that's absolutely
be
valid.
Careful.
I think there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Be careful, but be careful about your French, because
I'm
people
sorry,
that are listening.
Well, but I apologize to the listeners.
Sometimes
did I screw up? Was that me?
No, I did. I did.
Oh, okay.
I'm
a steel worker. I'm a steel worker in the when I'm not being a legislator, and sometimes language reflects that. I apologize if that was me.
No, that was me. That was me.
Okay.
Yeah, I apologize, y'all. But if there was an electoral college in the state, you wouldn't get that. And that's something the state representative should really look into, because, you know, again, you said the whole state's red, but one city changed the vote for the whole state. What's that about? You know, that's not fair. That's not, you know, the way the republic's supposed to be. You know. So, I mean...
Yeah, no, you've got a point there. It's just that there are a lot of voters in a very, very small area. And then we run into the question of, is it disenfranchising to them to... And this is a whole new can of worms to open up, but is it disenfranchising for the dense populated areas to then not have as much of a say due to the fact that geographically they're in a very small location?
Well,
it's
no,
valid,
I'm not saying that. But we're not a democracy. We're a democratic republic, and that's the difference. In a democracy, it's majority rule, okay?
Right.
But in a democratic republic, everybody gets equal say. So you know, just like, because the same thing would happen if we didn't have the Electoral College, California and New York would pick the president every time. The rest of our votes wouldn't count. So it's the same principle.
Right.
That's the difference between a democracy and a democratic republic. With a democratic republic, everybody from the smallest man to the largest man has an equal voice. You know, and if you set it up on the counties, all the counties have an equal voice. So if they want more people, okay, then spread your people out. You know, spread your message. But one county decides it for the whole state. That's not the republic that we're supposed to have. That's just my opinion.
No, it's absolutely valid, and I get that. What we're really talking about here, though, and I think we'll have a good time with this one, is that rather than trying to go each state put in place an electoral college for your state elections, it would be just a whole lot easier, I mean, as far as the process is concerned, to repeal the 17th Amendment. And then all of a sudden, then the individual states will determine who their senator is, the state legislatures, rather, not general public.
Oh, yeah.
But the state legislatures would determine who their senatorial representation would be. That's the way it was originally designed. And it had some flaws, too, but our response to it has even more flaws. And we're seeing them right now.
Yep. So there you go.
Well,
let's make a motion to do that.
I'm fully in favor.
Well, right now, we're in trouble. Biden called gay marriage inevitable, and soon it'll be law. A decade ago, then-Vice President Joe Biden shocked the political world and preempted his boss by suddenly declaring his support for gay marriage, one of the country's most contentious issues, on national television. And he actually officiated gay marriages. I'm talking about Biden, who is a heretic. He's an antichrist. And, you know, this whole thing, you know, we need to pray for the, we need to support a family, legitimate, traditional family.
Listen,
not
I'll be the last person to, go ahead. Go ahead.
Was that, who is that? Was that you there, Doc?
I was going to say, I'd be the last person to tell y'all to break the laws, but it's an interesting fact about laws. If they're unjust or immoral, you don't have to follow them. I'm not going to, I mean, look, you want to shack up and be live your simple lifestyle, you go right ahead, but I ain't calling you married. I'm not going to your wedding. I'm not going to buy you, you're not married. You know, marriage is instituted. God, I mean, it's a sacrament for God's sake. You know, God made it a sacrament between man and woman. You know, I mean, we all going to have to answer for these things one day, folks. Y'all want to live that perverted, simple lifestyle? Well, you know, that's on you. You know what's wrong. You know, and you're just doing it because it feels good. You know, but you know what? It's not going to feel good for long. This life is just a tick of the clock.
Yeah. Valid question.
Well,
and really, most of this came about only since the 20s when, in America anyway, I can't speak globally, but in America we decided that we needed to protect the institution of marriage, and that's why we started issuing marriage licenses because of all the out of wedlock. You know, they talk about the Roaring Twenties. It really was. I mean, it was a crazy time, and there was a lot of broken homes, out of wedlock children, and the government said we need to clamp down on this because we need to preserve the family, and so we started issuing government issued marriage licenses, and that was new, all right, because it had always been a religious institution. But in the 20s, we decided we need to protect marriage, and so we're going to issue marriage licenses. Well, we kind of hoisted ourselves on our own petard by doing so, because we also have laws saying, you know, the laws about discrimination and this sort of thing. And all of a sudden, as soon as the homosexual movement became a protected class, fair game. It was done as far as gay marriage was concerned. That was going to happen. And when Joe Biden said it was inevitable, he wasn't lying on that. But it wasn't because humans had changed. It was because the government got involved in issuing marriage licenses, and they should never have been there.
Nope. Should have stayed out of it.
Exactly.
Well, they're going to try
when government gets involved, they screw it up.
Of course. That's what government does best.
And they want to force the church to surrender to deal before the government on this. And that's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
And so.
We'll see. I mean, some of these church fathers we have, I don't know. I think a lot of them are going to jump on because they want that. I'm sorry to say, the shepherds have been asleep at the wheel far too long, and a lot of them are complicit with it. You know? And we got to do it because if they don't, the government will cut off. We'll start take away your tax exempt and all that garbage. You know?
Yeah, and my feel on that is, go ahead and do it. Just take the pain. It's gonna suck. I agree, but the pain, the freedom is worth it.
Damn straight. Excuse me. Can we say damn?
Darn. You can say darn.
Hell.
Darn.
Believe me, man. I'm having to track all the time.
But that's it's a major problem. It is a major problem because if we throw God out of our country, then we're hurting ourselves because what comes in, what takes his place, it's not good. And, Trump lawyers,
secular humanism has never worked.
It has never worked. Lawyers for President Trump were in court Friday for sealed arguments as part of the ongoing investigation into the presence of classified information at the former president's Florida estate. And I think that
he's allowed
that
to have.
Yeah. 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 He did, it's all about January 6th and that whole thing. They can't leave him alone. They go after him for whatever. They come up with all kinds of stuff to go after him. They're searching for a crime. And that's all
yeah,
that is.
And
it's all.
He was the president of the United States. He has clearance.
Exactly.
I think the man's got clearance, and he's allowed to have those. He declassified all those documents before he left the White House. I could get a copy of them. So I don't really see what the big deal is. Ugh.
They fear 2024.
It's an investigation in search of a crime.
Exactly. And they're trying to prevent President Trump from running again. That's what it all amounts to, too. All it is.
No, you're exactly right.
President Trump is an unpolished Ronald Reagan. They didn't like the polished Ronald Reagan. What makes you think they're going to like the duplicate that comes along?
Yep.
Well, and that's to be able to trust our voting, it's hard for me to trust it. It really is, because I can't help it. See, it is hard to trust it because I see all the shenanigans. You can't tell me that 2020 was a valid election. That Biden really won that election. It was not. It wasn't even close.
And you can't tell me Fetterman won. Sorry. Don't believe it.
No.
Yeah.
No, that was...
Most important election in decades. Oh, our machines are broken. Really? Yeah.
As soon as...
Well, I can tell you.
The clock rolls around.
Right.
Representative Sutton, he won validly, bigly, as President Trump would say. He said he won bigly.
Yes, I did. Now, I'm gonna scoop the news cycle here a little bit. The committee assignments have not been released yet, but I can tell you that I am very, very pleased with the committees. I have been trusted with the chairmanship of the House Insurance Committee.
Wow!
Which is going to be huge. That's going to be fantastic, and have retained my position on both appropriations and commerce.
That wow, that's
sweet,
awesome.
Sweet. No,
congratulations.
I'm sorry? Oh yeah, thank you, thank you. Yes, that is a huge. I couldn't ask for more powerful committees.
But you know what? That's good for us. That's good for us. There, it really is.
Yes, absolutely, it is. Absolutely, it is, because I'll be able to keep my finger on every aspect of money in government. I'm not on the tax committee. Okay, I could have stretched into that one, but there's just not enough hours in the day. But commerce, insurance, and appropriations, dude, that is so huge. I'm kind of been pacing around the house waiting for that email to come out to finalize it all so that I can crow.
So you can get some sleep finally?
And no, so I can crow. I already know the results. We've worked those out already, but it just hasn't been formally announced yet.
Oh, you want to go make some racket.
Representative Sutton?
I do all my work in the background, man. That's how I
Representative,
do it.
Representative Sutton?
Yes.
I can just see you getting out of bed in the morning. They tell you what the committee assignments are, and you say this.
Hey, this promises to be fun.
Yes, this does promise to be fun. Absolutely.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, and
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Now, since the election, this recent election here, do you think that Kansas, the House, is stronger than it was beforehand or about the same?
I do think that it's marginally stronger. We lost one seat. We had 86. We're now down to 85 out of 125. So we don't have as much margin for error as far as veto overrides and that sort of thing is concerned. But the personnel are now. There has to be a little caveat here. I haven't seen any of these people swim in a strong current yet. But as far as their campaigning is concerned, it's probably more conservative than it was last year. So I think it's going to be easier to keep the cats herded a little bit when it comes to things like veto overrides, because we didn't win the governor's race. So that makes it vital that we keep a hold of the two I'm sure there's going to be two. I just don't know who they are yet that we have to keep control of in order to override vetoes. And we could develop a Joe Manchin. We don't know. But right now it looks like while we still have a supermajority, it's a little bit weaker as far as the numbers are concerned. But we are more conservative, I think.
More,
like
more,
you said, proof in the pudding.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
it's easy to campaign as a conservative, but the proof will be when they swim in the current. How well do they do? And we'll find out.
Is the Kansas Senate as conservative as the House is, or are they kind of in the middle?
No, they have a conservative majority as well, and a supermajority. So they're kind of in the same boat we are.
Well, that's good.
Well, good then. Yeah,
we should be able to to override any vetoes if we can keep our team together. Yes,
right. That's the big one, though, the big if.
Oh, yeah, that is a big if. Because once the heat starts hitting and the current starts flowing, then we'll see who can swim and who will sink.
Do you
is it too soon?
How often do you meet with the constituents, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I mean, I live here in Gardner. I'm here every day. I walk the streets for every election, obviously. But, you know, I run into constituents every single day. I go to the grocery store. I go to the gas station. I do all that stuff. So, you know, I mean, while I will definitely be setting up forums and town halls and that sort of thing this year.
That's what I was talking about. Do you get out there? One of the things you were talking about, keeping the team on track, that might be something that you might, I mean, when I was heavier in Convention of States, we went down and met with the different elected officials on a fairly regular basis.
Right.
And you keep your feet in the water, and that helps on it. That's a two-way street because you don't always get to hear what's going on from the common person, you know, unless you're actually out in them. Because you kind of wind up, you know, if you're just in the office, you get that power vacuum, you know, or information vacuum.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. And you start, you know, I always make a joke for the new legislators when I'm talking to them. Because I try to, you know, kind of coach people or mentor depending upon the role. But depending on representative, but I try to help the new folks out, and I always joke that every argument ends with, or people will die, because when you're in Topeka or whatever capital city you're in, I'm sure it's the same. Every lobbyist will come to you with a story, and it always, no matter how benign the bill might be. It always ends with, "Oh my gosh, if we do this, people will die." It's rarely accurate. You know, in fact, I doubt it's ever accurate. But that's what I talk about when I say swimming in the current. When you're in there, you've got to stay grounded. You've got to keep your hands in your local constituency, because if you don't, you're going to lose touch. Things that are presented to you in the Capitol are entirely different than the way they actually affect people in real life. You can't automatically trust lobbyists ever. There are some that have very similar beliefs to mine, and I will listen to them. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to believe them at face value. Do your own research is probably what I'm saying on that.
Exactly. You know, and the old adjective, never believe your own press.
Oh, gosh, no. That's a horrible idea. Yeah.
I think that's one of the problems with a lot of the folks in Washington. They get surrounded by these yes people all the time. They don't realize that somebody can actually say no to them, and they start believing their own press, and next thing you know, they don't stink. And
exactly.
You know, I got news, boo-boo. It stinks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking about press, here in Gardner, it's really non-existent. I mean, when I go over there to see if I could talk with anybody, there's nothing really. It's, you know, when I was in Copper's Cove, Texas, I was invited I was actually writing for the paper, you know, on religious.
Gardner News has new ownership, and I'm not familiar with them. I don't know who they are or anything like that. I haven't worked with them at all. But you might find that the new owners are maybe more receptive. I don't know. I haven't met them. But it did go through a change in ownership.
I'll have to check it out then. I'll have to go in there. Because, I mean, when it came to the Black Lives Matter, they had a march here, and I was there. I went there to support the police, actually. I wanted to support our police during this. And I went out there, and I mean, I did more in coverage of that than anybody else out there. I was the media for that. I really was.
Yeah.
I did radio shows. I did articles on it. and we talked about it and the whole thing about Black Lives Matter and the whole situation that happened here. And I actually went and talked with the main speaker that they had from Kansas City that came in and gave a talk after this march. And I went out there and I actually participated in the march, not for them, but I was out there praying the rosary. Think about that. I was praying the rosary and I was trailing it with the police officer who was riding a bicycle. And we were together on that. I mean, you know, and I just, I was just, when I come right down to it, the media there, here in Garner, at that time, just non-existent. And
well,
so,
and she was, in fairness, I'll have to say, she had some major health issues that were really crippling. And, you know, obviously circulation is down just like every newspaper on the planet. But, you know, she didn't have the staff and she didn't have the health. In fact, that's why we have new ownership now. Well, not because of that, but the previous owner did pass away. And so the new folks took over just really literally months prior to her death. So we might have something more now. I don't know. I like I said, I'm not familiar with. I've never met the new owners, but we might have something now. I don't know.
Representative,
have a newspaper.
What? Representative Sutton, you mentioned earlier that you have a supermajority. We have a supermajority in the legislature.
Yes.
That must be a good feeling when you can look at the liberal left and tell them this.
Whoa! When I say whoa, I mean whoa.
It is a good feeling when you have a gavel in your hand as a chairman. One of the powers that are imbued with that gavel is that you get to decide what bills get heard and which ones don't.
Meanwhile, the liberal left is complaining. You can hear them now.
Oh, it's getting so a man can't earn a dishonest living no more.
Yep, accurate statement. Accurate statement. Yeah, no, it's a good feeling to have a supermajority. The only thing that would make it better would be to have the governor's office, and we don't.
So we've got to keep the team together.
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
You were saying something about the gavel?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, when you're the chairman of a committee, you get to decide which bills get hearings and which ones don't. Now, you're not the speaker, so you don't get to decide which bills go to which committee. That would be helpful, but as a chairman, you get to decide whether a bill gets heard or not. And so, if there's a nonsense bill, it doesn't get out of the drawer.
So in other words, if there's a nonsense bill, they get this treatment.
Now haul your carcass off in my premises.
That's exactly it. I'll meet with the ranking ahead of time and just say this one is never going to see the light of day. Try again.
Nice.
It's a nice feeling. It's a nice feeling to have.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
Are you able to block some of this insanity that's going around the country?
Around the country, no. In Kansas, yes. And if it involves insurance, I can block it directly.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's excellent.
it is.
Now, that's where they like to hide a lot of things.
Absolutely. You know, insurance sounds boring. Nobody gets excited about that. But there's a lot of stuff when you start talking about, well, let's say, for example, here's just one that came to my head, would be requiring insurance companies to pay for travel for out-of-state abortions. That would come through the insurance committee.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never going to live.
It's part of the health policy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
one
that's...
would never see the light of day.
There you go. Good. I heard something the other day, and I got to give a shout-out to Mr. Denzel Washington. If you ever get a chance, look up his talks on the father. He talks about some friends of his that they grew up with, and they didn't have an in-house father, and the paths that their lives took turned out to dramatically different because there was a father in the home. So I thought that was very cool that he put that out there. I heard clips from several actors and, you know, on topics like that. And the way that he put it, it really shined a light on the importance of having a father in the home. And I wanted to mention that I'm a product of the father not being there. So I've seen it from that perspective, and I was able to turn it around. And believe me, I am an exception to the rule. In that respect,
exactly.
Typically, guys that come from my background, do you know, where we end up is dramatically different than where I did, and that, you know, thank God for that. My wife, she led me to God, and you know, He's led me here. So, I was listening to a doctor, and one of the lines he kept saying is, this is God's work. And Dr. Welch, and he's a really good guy, and if you ever get a chance, look up his work. Every other line was, this is God's work. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to use that on the show as well. So
we're doing
God's work. And I wanted to put that out there.
Well, no, and you're exactly right. When you look at the statistics, and even liberal groups will throw this out there, they'll say, you know, childhood poverty leads to X, Y, Z, and they're exactly right. They're not lying on that. Statistically speaking, they're not lying on that. But what the part that they left out is the number one indicator of childhood poverty in a single-parent family.
No daddy.
They leave that out. And
yep.
Why, I don't understand. Well, I do. I do understand. But it's if they really wanted to solve some of the social systemic problems that we have, keep the family together.
Yeah, but they don't want to solve it. You know, here's something. Congestive heart failure, right? According to this, his name is Dr. Wallach. The guy's done over 8,000 autopsies. He has his written work is actually in some medical museum because it's got information you can't get anywhere else. And we have known the treatment for congestive heart failure for over 300 years, the cure for it. He had this woman, this girl, she was 10 or 11 years old. Yeah, 11 years old, not going to see 12 because of her asthma. It was nothing they were doing was working. And they talked to him and, you know, this university said she's not going to see her next birthday. And he's like, I can fix it. And they thought he was nuts. And he said the reason the drugs are not working is because they're not being absorbed into her body. Change this in her diet. and they did it, and within a year she was cured. I mean, the guy, you know, so yeah, I give kudos to him, but yeah, his line is, "This is God's work," and wow. So I would love to get him on the show if we can get a hold of him. But I'll look into that. But he's, you know, the stuff that he talked about just totally blew me away. Anyway, I just want to put that out there. But yeah, the father thing. When we took the masculinity out of the church, the father left the home. There were events that caused this. The sexual revolution, the father was removed. The Women's Rights Act, I don't know. But it was right around the 70s, 60s, 70s, the father was booted out of the house.
Maybe around the Great Society?
Yeah, yeah. There was the Civil Rights Movement. That's what it was.
It was Johnson's Great Society legislation.
Yeah, yeah. And the father got removed out of the home, and they did that because that way the mother would work. So now they could tax both father and mother. And then the kids went to the daycares and public schools, latchkey kids. And this went on for like eight generations now. And these women, and they have a right to be, are bitter and angry, and they raise these boys to be bitter and angry towards men, and you wonder why they identify as anything but a man. And, right. You know, and it gets us where we are. And here's the thing. If we put righteous masculinity back into the church, it'll cause a ripple effect in the opposite direction. The first thing we did was take it out of the church. If we put it back, let's bring back the Latin Rite. Here's an example. My wife was talking to my mother-in-law down in Florida. She goes to a church that has two Latin Mass, and the time changed. So she went and looked at the bulletin. They have like 20 different Mass at this church, children's Mass, adult Mass, evening Mass, 5 different languages, Polish, Italian, French, all the, but no word of the Latin Mass in the bulletin. It's been shunned, and the reason that I mentioned it earlier, we got a lot of sleep at the wheel or hirelings, as Greg calls them, priests in the thing, and they need to go away because they're not real priests. They're just doing the job. They don't want the Latin Mass because the Latin Mass reeks of righteous masculinity. We bring that back to full strength, and we could do that with our checkbook. And the fathers will come home. And I know this for a fact because I go to the Latin Mass, and all the families at that church have an in-home father, pretty much 100%. So
wow,
there you go. Also, the kids stay in the church when they reach the age of decision, when they can make up their own mind. They stay in the church. They don't go running off to another church. They stay in the church. And now you got kids that will grow up and become fathers and mothers, and they will stay home together, and they will have kids of their own, and they'll stay in the church. And guess what? Now you got the father back in the home. Done. That's how we do it. And we can do it with our checkbooks. You go to your priest,
but no.
You go to the bishop, and you tell them you want the Latin Mass, or they're not going to see a dime. You donate your money to charity, 10% to charity, to God's work. There are soup kitchens. There are clothes. Homeless people need socks, clothes, underwear, and blankets. There's all kinds of things you can put your money to. You don't have to pay for their stained glass cathedrals if they're not going to give us what we need in the church. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I apologize. But anyway,
today is Blessed Adolf Kolping feast day today, according to the church calendar. And he said the first thing that a person finds in life and the last to which he holds out his hand and the most precious that he possesses, even if he does not realize it, is family life. Let's show Christian living. Let's show Christian living in more, ever more practical ways, and to and the present and to and the present will be better and the future together. And so the needs of the times will teach you what to do. And so again, he says the needs of the times will teach you what to do. And the first thing that a person finds in life and the last to which he holds out his hand and the most precious that he possesses, even if he does not realize it, is family life. And Pope St. John Paul II said of Blessed Adolf Koeppling, I think it's interesting that he said, we need models like Adolf Koeppling in today's church. And he says that human life cannot exist without joy, without fun, least of all during youth. Thus, joy and fun deserve an essential place in community life. And so religion and work are the golden foundation of the people. So those are some of the thoughts coming from Blessed Adolf Koeppling, whose feast day is today. And what an opportunity. I mean, I love him. I mean, the guy, and he has set up for this, I mean, all over the world in 60 countries. You know, he's got organizations that have over almost 500,000 members in 54 countries across the globe, in encouraging young men to be leaders. They're called the Catholic Association of Journeymen, which gave young journeymen religious and social support. And that, so what he was all about in his ministry and his apostolate is still going on strong today. And like St. Pope John Paul II said about him, is we need more like him. And so that's what we're all about here, Deeper Truth. And so we are at that time. Representative Sutton, do you have any last thoughts that you would like to bestow upon us before we talk? Before we take off for tonight?
Wow, no, we have covered some fantastic stuff tonight. I'm going to go back and listen to this one because I think it's going to be fantastic. But no, I don't have a lot to add to that. I think that I'm going to look up St. Adolf there as far as the fun is concerned. But I love the fact that we're celebrating family and youth having fun. That's amazing. That's absolutely something that needs to be celebrated, to be recognized, and something that gets absolutely ignored in our current society.
Well, he encouraged and he did much to help youth, and that's what helps. We need to pray for America, you know, especially in this time of Advent and getting ready for Christmas. And we definitely need to pray for America, and our youth need this kind of Catholic outreach, you know, to reel them in. To you know, like Mother Teresa said, it's not so much about being successful as it is being faithful. So there's a lot that Mother Teresa of Calcutta and Blessed Adolf Koeppling. You know, I think that what he had to say and what he was all about in trying to strengthen the family. And that's what we need to do. And that's what Doc is saying. And that's what Mike says, too. I mean, we all are saying it. We need to pray for the family and for the Catholic Church and to pray for our leaders. So,
absolutely.
Well, God bless you, Bill, and your family and everything. And, man, you got me with high on hope with what we're doing here and what we have in Kansas. And just keep us informed, you know.
I will do my darndest, man. I'll keep you in the loop.
Yes, keep me in the loop. And if you ever have need of me, just ask.
You're on my list, man. Heck yes.
You bet. And you know, so and Gigi's a big fan too. She's a big fan. So
good. So she's a hoot. I like her a lot.
Yeah. Oh man. She's wonderful. And so,
my son was a big fan.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's awesome. I'll have to tell her that. So we're at that time, and I really love Mike's what he's been doing. You know, when Mike has got his system up, I mean,
so professional,
he is
sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. We sound like a bunch of pros. I love that.
I do too. And I'll always, you know, this one that he did here. I'll go ahead and end it with this. But, you know, this one was the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Man, that is so good. Well, thank you, Mike, and thank you, Doc, and thank you, Representative Sutton, and all those out there listening to us tonight. God bless you all, and make the Mass the center of your life, and pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. So good night, everybody, and God bless you all, and see you next time. God bless.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night.